Howdy, everybody. Welcome to Connectivity, episode 274. I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, joined as always by my co-host, John Raritan.
Good evening, everyone.
And joining us, I guess former co-host, returning co-host, he's in your hearts and minds, just like he's always in mine. Zach Miller, everybody.
Hello. I didn't see you there.
So we've got a fun show for you, in which we're not going to talk a lot about Nintendo. But before we get to that exciting part, there's been some news. And probably by the time you hear this or when you listen to this, it will all be outdated because we are in the, I guess, what is it, like the 2 month E3 launch window?
Yeah.
Something along those lines. There's news and events basically every day until like mid June. It's kind of cool. But also very disorganized.
This is the season when all the leaks happen, so that by the time E3 rolls around, we already know it's there.
Yeah.
Yep. What if we just had all the leaks but didn't bother having E3? Would that be okay?
That was last year.
That was nice.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
So we are. Yeah, we're. It's end of May. We're close to when E3 and Summer Games Fest and all this other stuff. As of recording, we still really don't know what the hell Nintendo's going to be doing at E3.
We don't know what anyone's going to be doing at E3.
Yeah, well, Microsoft and Bethesda announced that they are doing a show on the Sunday, I think.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Was it June 13th, I think?
That sounds right.
Looks like there's going to be some Halo.
Microsoft might tell us about some games that might come out on Xbox One or Xbox Series X.
It's kind of funny because technically Microsoft hasn't published a game on their new console.
Oh, that's
brutal. It's a little bit of like a minor falsehood because I guess like technically like Gears Tactics came out on Xbox the day the system came out. And like they've done a lot of good things of like upgrading old games to look really nice on Series X and Series S. But at the same time, there is not a game that has come out that is like, this is a big Series X and S game coming out on Xbox. I think the first one might be Psychonauts 2, which...
Oh, that's... I forgot about that.
The first one just went up on Game Pass, and I haven't played that game in a very, very long time.
I've got it on Xbox. I got it on Xbox One. It was like free on the store for a day for anybody.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And I actually need to play it because I've heard nothing but good things about that game.
Yeah, it might be something that aged a little poorly because I know I played it. I think it's like 2004, 2005 is when it came out. I played it on the 360, I think. And it was totally enjoyable, really fun. I don't know how much, like maybe some of the 3D platforming doesn't hold up. I don't know. When it comes to Nintendo, yeah, we really don't know what's going on. As we're recording this, there's some Dragon Quest news that's going to be happening after we're done. But we did get some news today that leads into some rumor chat where we found out that Pokemon BDSM, Pokemon
Correct.
Bleeding Diamond.
Butt Plug Diamond.
Oh, God.
And Anal Pearl.
Killing me here.
But the Diamond and Pearl remakes that I will not... Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl? That's
yeah,
right.
Sure. That sounds right to me.
Sounds as good as anything.
So they're coming out on November 19th. And then in January, we actually got a release date for Pokemon Legends... How the hell do you pronounce it?
Arceus.
Arceus? Arceus? Is it a hard C?
I've always said a hard C.
Arceus.
Arceus? Did you like
if,
just
if
Google
you're
it?
Not sure how to say it objectively wrong.
Okay.
On
Arceus.
Yeah, is it?
Yes.
Arceus? Arceus? I don't know. Anyway, that's coming out on January 28th, 2022.
Which one was Arceus?
Which I
in?
Think is a little.
He's in Diamond.
He is Diamond Pearl? Okay.
He's on the cover of it, right? Am I thinking of the right one?
No.
Okay.
Arceus is the white one with a halo around its middle. It's weird looking.
Oh God! Right, is Arceus Pokemon God?
It is a Pokemon
the
God.
Creator
yeah,
of the Pokemon world.
So this is like the Pokemon Bible, then.
The Book of Ash.
Yeah.
the letter to Misty.
I'm mildly excited about Diamond Pearl because I got really into those games. I got a living Pokedex with those games.
We didn't really, so with the news of these release dates, we didn't get like a lot of new details or new
look. Not at all.
No trailers or anything.
Which is kind
of
weird.
We did get cover art, which is, in the case of Pearl, very bad. But
I mean,
you know.
Legends looks fine.
Legends looks great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did enjoy people pointing out that they that Bidoof is on the cover, but he's covered up by the writing.
Oh,
poor Bidoof.
Yeah, no, I'll totally play the Diamond and Pearl remakes. That initial trailer did, like, meh.
Yeah.
But I'll still play it, because I think I'm at a point where, even if I may not be super excited or even finish every Pokemon game, I'm totally going to play them. It's just very enjoyable comfort food, just romping through those games. Legends is legit exciting. Like, yeah, there's a lot of things that we kind of need to find out about that game. That initial trailer, like, the frame rate looked like butt. But they have some time, and I think January 28th is earlier than I would have pegged it for. It seemed more like a March-April title, but...
And it could still be a March-April title.
Eh, I mean, like, Pokemon Company, usually when they announce a date, stick to it.
Yeah. They're for better or for worse, they get that game out the door.
Yep. So, I mean, like, time will kind of tell on that. I think there's reason to be concerned about what that game's going to look like. But maybe it would be boosted, pray tell, by a Switch Pro.
Oh,
what now?
Yeah, so, you know, popular rumor thing that's been going around for, 15, 20 years? Is that Nintendo's working on a Switch Pro.
And guess what? I'm sure they have been.
Yeah, I mean, like, Zach, they have.
Yeah. Probably since the Switch launched.
We'll say, yeah. It's like people being like, why is your R&D budget so large? And... then the response is usually like, well, like, we have to still make things, you know? Like, where are we going to... No, actually, our R&D budget's zero. We're just going to coast on this for the next decade.
The new console magically appears on the release date.
That's how it works.
But there was a thing that came out today that we were talking about before we were recording. Figured we'd talk about it here. You know, a rumor person and NWR contributor as well, friend of the site, Emily Rogers, was saying that the Switch Pro might be announced soon. And it's kind of like speculating as to what would be like a rollout for the Switch Pro for Nintendo, kind of seeing how we have with how 2021 is rolled out. We kind of know their first 7 months or so of games. We know the Pokemon things after that. We don't know a lot else. I've kind of been firmly in the camp that I think the Switch Pro, I would peg it as unlikely for 2021, just because there's still the chip shortages.
Yeah.
And I think that the Switch is selling at such a high rate that why would you mess with that alchemy?
Why bother?
Yeah. Why cannibalize your own incredibly successful console?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, though, I've kind of been on the working assumption that this is at the earliest an April 2022 thing somewhere.
I could see it in March. Like, yeah, it really, I mean,
end of the fiscal year.
I almost feel like ideal thing is just like, hey, remember 5 years ago when we had the Switch and Breath of the Wild?
Yeah.
What if we had a better Switch and it's Breath of the Wild 2 and it looks amazing?
Oh, yeah.
Like magic DLSS upscaling or whatever the rumors were about what the specs are.
The screen's still 720p, but, you know, whatever.
You know that behind the screen it looks better. It's just the way it's being displayed it to you is worse.
Yeah. There's only a seven. The screen can only do, like, you can, if you're on a 4K TV, then upscaling with DL, whatever the hell, great. But if your screen is still 720p, it's not gonna matter. That's gonna be a 720 image no matter what.
So Zach, where are you on? What do you expect from a Switch Pro? And like, when do you think it'll happen?
I don't know, man. I just expect I don't know a newer processor in there, and you know, better graphics card. I don't know what to expect out of a Switch Pro. I'm pretty happy with the Switch as it is. I don't need the thing to have 4K. But you know, maybe give me a little more memory so I don't have to clean the fridge. Let me. I'm at the point in my life where that's all I want anymore. Like, just give me a lot of space and an SSD.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
I I mean, it is, and I think we've talked about this before, but it is one of those things where you look at the Switch Pro rumors and you just got to go, yeah, but are you going to fix the controllers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be great.
You're fixing all this stuff, theoretically, that I'm not asking you to fix, but you do still have this very, you have two very terrible, of the controllers you've made are good.
True.
Make one good controller for this thing, please.
Give me a D-pad, please. Just give me.
Yeah, it won't matter if it's 4K just allows me to see my character sliding across the screen in higher fidelity.
I remember those moments as I was playing for review Breath of the Wild, and I'd be like sitting there, and I actually played a lot of that game for review with like the Joy-Con, like the Joy-Con each in a hand, so like kind of like split apart, yeah, holding them.
Well, and you didn't have a, did you get a pro controller with the review unit?
I don't think I got a pro controller, or at least if I think I might have like gotten it and they didn't give me a pro controller, and I think I might have been like, hey, can you send one, and they might have.
Okay.
Yeah, but that I did would not have been initially much I just closer I just
got
launch.
I just got a Breath of the Wild and you know the system.
Yeah.
But I largely played it, you know, Joy-Con L in one hand, Joy-Con R in the other. And I was like, why is he just going in circles? And that was when like all the problems of the, I think it's in the right one, right? Is that the,
you're talking about like the signal loss thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember which one that, but yeah, that was,
oh, that's right. That was a separate issue from Drift.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the launch day systems had my launch day Joy-Cons did that too.
Yeah, I know, and I don't use my old Joy-Cons anymore. Because the newer ones do kind of fix that, but it's just that like the controls have just always been dogged by nonsense. Yeah. And that's the part that I'd like to be fixed. Because really, I totally get it where like there's certain games that chug on Switch. You know, Nintendo is pushing into the limits. Like Age of Calamity had really rough moments. Yeah. And it would benefit from having it, you know, some increased horsepower there. Like that would definitely help, and I would buy that. Do sure. I need it? No.
Yeah.
Like I'm content. I'm fine. Yeah. I can tell you what I would like is just the quicker load times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Xbox way. It's, I think about how I'm not really, I mean, just enjoying Game Pass and Madden on my new shiny router looking thing that I got from Microsoft. And that's fine. I'm like so content with that system. Switch Pro.
I have a question real quick about the Switch and the load times. The Switch is an SSD, right?
I'm not sure exactly. I think it's just flash. I don't think it's not technically an SSD. I think it's essentially a like
card.
Like just a flash memory, I believe. And that could be totally wrong.
It would make sense,
but I believe
though.
That's the case. Yeah.
That's kind of a shame.
And I still think it's a faster access than like a traditional, spinning hard drive.
Of course, sure.
But yeah, it's not anywhere near what you're getting out of the ninth generation systems.
Well, I certainly, as of when it would come out, certainly not this year, and it would, if they were going to do it, it would be too late for, you know, the holiday of next year. Earliest I'd say is summer of 2022.
Well, humorously, I just happened to check Twitter.
Oh shit!
There's an update.
Breaking news.
What did Emily say?
By the time we get this, it's going to be like, actually, here's the lineup for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
Emily Rogers is saying new screen, upgraded chips, aiming for a September October release. An announcement is imminent. We might be getting news sooner than we thought.
As of like September, October this year.
Yeah. Shit.
Does she say a year? Yeah, or is it just September, October?
I believe it's this year.
Okay.
It's September, October 2023. With that in mind, like they need to make these things.
Yeah.
I know right. Production has been a thing that's been a challenge. So
all we know is that they bought some screens. So
handled. I guess there's a case for, I think I remember hearing from someone that you kind of need like, you need like, I think 3-4 months at an absolute minimum to kind of like get production going for something like this. Like I think with the Switch Lite, so the Switch Lite came out in September. I want to, I want to say I heard stuff that like those started being produced in May or June or something like that.
Oh wow.
I might be a little off, but I think it was around that time. Like, I mean, they had it designed and everything, but it went into mass production for retail release in like the spring.
They would have to so have then like the, a secret... the pro would they'd have to have a secret stash of chips somewhere.
Yeah,
to be
exactly what
thing.
I was going
to
say.
That right is now. True. Yeah.
Like what?
Like I production mean, for it. If it's, I mean, if it's, I feel like it maybe it leans more towards October. Then production for it would have to start like now.
I can't conjure up a PS5 in stock anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are they going
to
do this?
The Switch Pro is going to be a nightmare to
find.
Oh
God, yeah, it is.
I mean, isn't the Switch? I mean, I haven't
the
been
Switch
looking for
is
a
hard
Switch.
To find.
Yeah, yeah. I, like, I did see one. I was at a Target and I saw one.
Yeah.
No, I, Animal Crossing
don't
one.
Release your shit until you have a steady supply. Otherwise, you're just going to be ragged on by everybody in the world until you get one.
I mean, I think Sony just had an earnings thing where they're making this is their most profitable system ever or something.
Yeah, because all these just fucking pirates are buying it off the internet.
And I will say, I mean, as much as we say it's impossible to get, everybody here has one of the new systems, right?
I have an Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Xboxes are a little easier to get on the whole than the PS5.
Yes.
Really? I feel like I've seen way more PS5s. But
I see more. I think the thing is, this is anecdotal, of course. I think the people that I know who wanted Xboxes got Xboxes.
Yeah.
There are still people that I know that want PS5s that haven't gotten PS5s.
Yeah.
So I see a lot more chatter about it because people are actively searching still.
But I also see a lot more because I follow like Wario64 and Cheap Ass Gamer, and there are way more notifications for Xboxes than PS5s.
I see them for like the Series S's.
Yeah.
Which notable console you don't want, but
yeah.
And I do, and I think with a lot of these things is you can have some bad luck with it, but I think it's kind of one of those things where like if there's a will, there's a way.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you want, like I mean I got one within, I don't know when I got mine, but within like a month of deciding I should buy one of those, like I got one.
Yeah.
It's not impossible at all.
Yeah, sure.
Switch Pro would be interesting.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I
imagine a game system where there's actually games for it. Think about how many people would want that.
Oh, wow. I do think, and we were talking about this before, I don't think a Switch Pro needs to launch with a game.
No.
Like, that's...
No.
I mean, well, I think that even
especially if it's upgrading games that exist.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because you're launching it with the library. You put out the Switch Pro and you say, yeah, now Xenoblade 2 runs at 1080p. And like there you go.
It's the kind of thing like what they did for the Switch Lite, where I think the Switch Lite did come out on like the same day as Link's Awakening, but it wasn't like buy your Switch Lite and Link's Awakening, like,
right.
it's not like that was like this is the Switch Lite launch title.
There wasn't even like a special edition bundle, I don't think.
Like I think it could be the kind of thing where the other thing that Emily was talking about that I can also separately corroborate. A new Metroid game, also, you know, likely coming out this year. It could be the kind of thing where, like, let's say, like, just random, like, October 1st, the Switch Pro comes out. Also, a Metroid game happens to come out on the same day. Doesn't need to be like this is what's going to show you the raw power of the Switch Pro. Because what you can do is be like, hey, remember that cool Hyrule Warriors game last year? What if it didn't have slowdown?
What if it ran well?
I mean, even just going all the way back to Breath of the Wild, like, that game has slowdown.
Oh, yeah.
That game runs at a max 900p, and more realistically, 720p. Like, their launch title has plenty of room for improvement.
Especially when you think about that, like, I don't think Breath of the Wild 2 is going to be out this year. I think what happens with Nintendo at E3 will kind of tell us, like, if it winds up being a huge focus, oh, maybe there's a shot that it's out this year. If it's not, then, like, oh, that's 2022, baby.
Yeah.
But like, it is the kind of thing that you could be like, hey, like Breath of the Wild's coming out next year, but hey, maybe go back and replay Breath of the Wild, and it'll look way nicer on your Switch Pro.
I still got some dungeons to find or whatever those things are called.
I still have, I lost my save for that. Still gotta replay it someday.
I never finished Master Quest.
Ooh.
Or whatever the hard mode is.
I never started that.
It's a pain.
It's real hard.
It is.
There's a Lionel on the Great Plateau.
Holy shit.
Now, here's your spoon.
Yeah. I do love those moments in Breath of the Wild where you basically just like lock eyes with a Lionel and you're like
that oh shit moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember that moment playing the hard mode on the Great Plateau where I'm just like, oh.
And he's like, he's somewhere that you have to go. He's right by like the woodcutter's hut. Like, it's like, I gotta go in there. I need to go knock down that tree.
All right. Well, by the time this is out, we might be like, oh, the Switch Pro is coming out on October 1st.
But yeah, by the time this is out, you'll be listening to this on your Switch Pro, which has come out and has a podcast app on it.
Yeah.
And maybe Netflix.
It'll be like Nintendo Switch Pro Saturday. I don't know. It'll be like Saturn Day.
Yeah.
Switcher Day. But anyway, maybe this all be outdated, but I still think fun conversation to have. So yeah. Let's go to some non-Nintendo talk. And Zach, as the guest, tell us what you have been liking about Horizon Zero Dawn, or as you call it, a Robot Dinosaur Zelda game.
Robot Dinosaur Zelda game is so fun. because it's a Zelda game, but with robot dinosaurs.
It does seem right up your alley.
It does.
Yeah. You like robots and you like dinosaurs, and you like Zelda. It's...
Oh, yeah. Match made in heaven. So I actually bought this game probably 2 years ago because it was on steep discount at Walmart one day. And it was a complete version. And I was like, I'll get around to playing this someday. But games like this, I usually have a hard time starting because I know they're going to be a time commitment. And they're also the kind of, I'm getting older, you know, and if I stop playing a game with complex controls for more than like a week, I will forget how to play it. So I was always a little iffy about starting it. But once I did recently, I cannot put it down. It's such an engaging game, and it's kind of exactly how I described it. It's a Zelda game where it's a little like Breath of the Wild. I feel like it's Breath of the Wild from an alternate universe.
I mean, they came out like the same month or like
Breath of the
weeks.
Wild significantly hurt its sales. Yeah. From what I remember.
Yeah. Cause I think Horizon might've been like the end of February, and then Breath of the Wild was like March 3rd or whatever.
I feel like it was like within the same week. Yeah. It was brutal.
But, so you know, you run around, you have a bow and arrow, and you have, basically a slingshot, and you craft. There's a lot of crafting in the game. I don't think there was any crafting in Breath of the Wild. It's been a while, but you pick plants and you get things from the machines you kill, and you make weapons and you make ammo and traps and potions and stuff. And then you kind of run from town to town taking quests on this enormous map. I thought the map was huge to begin with, and then I found out there's a second area that's even larger, and I imagine there's more than that coming, but it's just this huge overworld that's crawling with robot dinosaurs, and you hide in the bushes and shoot their weak point and they explode and it's great. You run over and harvest their corpse and, you know, sell things for money, which they use just metal shavings or something in this game for cash. And there are different outfits, and you can put modifications on them. You can modify your weapons to have different elemental effects or better damage potential, things like that. And it's just really fun. And what I should say I like about the game is not just that you're shooting robot dinosaurs, but that it has the exact same effect on me that Breath of the Wild did, which is like, I know there's a story here, but I don't give a shit what's over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just end up wandering the map and, you know, doing all the side quests, which just take you to the far reaches of the map. And the map kind of tells you where stuff is that you might want to find, like little pickups, metal flowers, or figurines. And if I'm anywhere near one of them, I'll just go do that. And I've probably put, I imagine I put more than 30 hours into it by now. And it's just, oh, it's so fun. Have either of you played it?
I played, let's see, it must have been on, was this on like PlayStation Plus at some point?
I have to imagine it was. And it was also one of the free games that they were giving away a month or two ago. And in fact, I had the disc version, but I just got the free version to get rid of the disc.
I played it at some point somehow.
Okay.
I didn't finish it, but I played a good chunk of it. And yeah, it was because I had some friends who like when Breath of the Wild came out, they hadn't gotten a Switch yet. And so, of course, they were playing this.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, dude, like Breath of the Wild's great, but like, don't sleep on this.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, absolutely. It's one of those games I'm glad that I went back to, and I do need to pick it back up and finish it at some point. Cause yeah, no, everything I played of it was fantastic. Beautiful game too.
Oh geez. Like, yeah, it is
gorgeous. Yeah.
There's just so much. One of the things I like about it is like, there's so much thought put into, you know, the towns and what people are wearing, and, they all speak perfect English, even though it takes place thousands of years in the future, which is a little odd, but like the machines are so well designed. They don't look exactly like what they're supposed to be, but they look like, you know, the approximation in a machine. And I can't imagine how long it took to like model one of these animals. And then when there are certain ones you fight, like there's a robot T-Rex that has missiles and a machine gun and a laser beam. And when you take one of those suckers down, it feels so good. It takes forever, but once you actually get them down, it feels great. And I really like the discovery in it. Like there's a bunch of robot crocodiles and I was getting mobbed by three of them at one point. And I just kind of accidentally shot a fire arrow onto one of their weak points, and it blew up, and the explosion caused the weak point of the other two to blow up too, and they all died at the same time.
Yeah,
it was great, and I can't get enough of it. And I'm really excited for the next one, which I think is also coming to PS4, because I know I heard it's coming to PS4 too.
I think the last word on it was that it was, but I think that's largely, it was really funny last year because you had for a while, Sony was like, we believe in generations, everything's on PS5.
Yeah, yeah.
And Microsoft was like, you can do whatever you want, we'll make it for everything. And then like at the same time, Microsoft was like, actually some of these games are going to be Series X and S exclusive. And yeah. Sony was like, guess what? All these games are going to be on PS4 too.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I believe Horizon is confirmed for PS4 still.
Okay, good.
I mean, that could change because we're going to see more about that game. I think by the time this goes live, there will have been a state of play that shows more of it. So there's a chance that there could be a release window, release date, something like that. There could be an update, and it'll probably either...
Turns out it's Switch Pro exclusive. Weird
that's,
turn.
That's where the announcement for the Switch Pro is going to be.
Yep.
There you go. Fantastic game. I can't get enough of it. And it's... I wish you could climb! Like, that's the one thing I want!
I didn't spend a lot of time with it. I played, like, an hour or two of it. And what really drove me mad is that I played it shortly after Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was later that year. And I was just like, how come I can't climb?
Yeah.
Like, this is
Breath of the Wild is one of those games that
redefines,
really hurts everything that came out before.
Yes.
Or stuff like Red Dead Redemption 2 that came out after, but feels 20 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to assume they'll add climbing in the second game, because in a post Breath of the Wild world, I don't think you can not have climbing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when they got so close to making Breath of the Wild the first time.
Yeah.
Like,
they really did.
Clearly in that same line of thinking.
Yeah. So
I mean, I remember saying that even when we like saw it at E3.
And yeah.
It was something to the extent of like this. Like, I remember being concerned before Breath of the Wild came out that we were like, oh, what if Horizon is just the same as what Breath of the Wild is doing, but better? Like, I remember having that conversation.
And I think there's a little bit of, like, what your preference is. You know, yeah, maybe sure. climbing isn't as much of a deal breaker for you, and you wind up liking Horizon more, or, you know, the storytelling and presentation in Horizon is kind of better than Zelda.
I'm really interested, actually, to see, because, see what the story is. I guess there's a spectacular backstory to how the world wound up with, you know, people living in tribes and robot dinosaurs walking around, and former NWR connectivity host Nathan Mustafa has told me that it is his favorite sci-fi story, period.
Wow.
So I'm pretty praise. Excited to, I don't like reading all of the, you know, data entry crap that you find in the environment. So
yeah,
I
like, guess what? I'm not 14. This isn't Metroid Prime. Like, I'm not reading all that shit. Don't get me wrong, Metroid Prime 1, read all of it. Like, I would just stop dead being like, what's this data entry say?
Well, they also did a great job of most of those data entries were like 3 sentences long.
It's not like Skyrim where it's like, here's an entire book.
Yeah.
That's kind of what some of these feel like. I mean, they really do. I'll look at them and I'll be like, okay, this is several paragraphs. I'm not reading this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's cool. But I'm glad you're enjoying it. It's one of those things, because my PS4, basically, I fought a war with it, and I lost.
I remember
playing Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I was like, how much is this going to cost to fix? And it was basically the cost of a new PS4.
Yeah.
So I'm not bothering with that. Eventually, I'll get a PS5, and I'm glad they have some modicum of backwards compatibility, because there's a few games that I either didn't really play or didn't finish. That I would like to go back to, but I'm kind of fine just biding my time for when they do a different looking version of that unholy beast.
Oh God, yeah. And I have to assume it'll be cheaper by then too.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just give me like the PS5 Slim. I'm holding out for that. Yep. Even honestly, they could probably keep the price. Like, really, the big deal breaker for me is I don't know where I'm putting that.
No.
Just doesn't seem worth trying to figure out. So I'll wait for a different looking version.
Yep.
So, John, you've been playing a game on your fancy new Xbox Series X, and it is a game that there's some division and consternation about whether or not it's good or not, but I think I can speak for Zach as well, very interested to see what Biomutant is like. So
yeah, me too.
Please tell us about the new video game Biomutant.
So we're on a, I guess, kind of like a Zelda Breath of the Wild themed, not Zelda Breath of the Wild kick. Because even I was actually listening to an interview with the developers on this, which I think they're called 101 Games. I might have that wrong. It definitely has the number 101 in it. I'm not sure how wonderful they are, but there's definitely 101.
Experiment 101.
Experiment 101. Thank you. But yeah, so they were talking about this, and they even referenced Breath of the Wild as an influence for this, but according to the back of the box, it is an open world action RPG kung fu fable.
All right.
Which is like a really evocative way to sum up a game.
Yeah. It is, and I believe the way they've said this before is it's post-apocalyptic. So the game takes place, it is post-apocalyptic. All of the humans are dead. There's no surviving mutant humans or anything like that. They've been dead for a long time. An entirely new population of these rat cat like mutated creatures has like developed and has their own societies and towns and cultures. But now that evolution of life is facing their own apocalyptic event and having to deal with that. So it's this weird, like, you're aware of an apocalypse that happened in the past, and now, like, you're also having to deal with that, and, like, hopefully you do a better job than these last losers did. So you start out, you make a character, there's kind of a class system that essentially just defines what your starting stats are. Whether you focus more on ranged combat or close range combat or charisma or what kind of character you are, because it is a bit more of a Western RPG than something like Breath of the Wild is. You do have like actual stats and everything. And then you make your character and you start out into the world. It starts very linear and probably has a bit too long of a tutorial for my taste. But once you get out of that, it is a big open world kind of Breath of the Wild style game.
Yeah.
Where even down to the point of needing to, like, the basic concept of the plot is like there's a big tree of life at the center of the map, and that tree's roots are being eaten by these four giant monsters in the four corners of the map. And so you need to travel in a very Breath of the Wild like style to the four corners of the map, and deal with these four giant creatures, that are eating this root. Different areas have different kind of environmental effects. So there's areas that are very cold that you'll need to find a way to build up resilience to, or very hot. There's one area really early on that has no oxygen. So you have to figure out a way to deal with that. And then along all of that, there's also a tribe war going on between the different tribes that inhabit this world. And you can align yourself with one of the tribes. And each of these tribes also has a different plan for like how they're going to save or destroy the world tree and how they think they can avoid the apocalypse. And so you can join up with these tribes, fight against the other tribes and help your tribe conquer the entire map. And then other random side quests and things that you'll pick up along the way as well. You're also upgrading all of your gear and weapons. You'll pick up like pieces of weapons, like handles and blades and different things, and then can craft your own weapons. So there's a lot of customization. I think it's pretty cool. I will say it looks fantastic on Series X. If you are playing on Series X and you're not one of these plebeians playing on a PS5, then it is running in 4K 60 frames per second, whereas it is famously running at 1080p on PS5. And this is without, they haven't actually put out a PS5 or Series X patch.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
This is running on backwards compatibility.
Yeah, when I was looking at the developer, I saw that technically the PS5 and Series X versions haven't been released yet.
Yep. They're just running very well off of the Pro and 1X versions from last gen. And yeah, apparently they just, essentially, I think they had to disable the 4K stuff on PS5 because they had to disable it for PS4 Pro. So I'm sure a 4K mode is coming on PS5.
Yeah.
It is buttery smooth on Series X.
Yeah.
Looks great.
I like the look and the feel of it. I saw someone make a comment that like,
it's very weird.
That it feels like it's a game that like it like Cameo-esque, as in like a feels like a Eurojank rare game from like 15 years ago.
It is a vibe of game that does not get made today. It is very much a AA game, which is, I mean, I think even the developer when they announced that the PS5 version would be 1080p, people were like, "This is a big AAA game. How can you?" Abandoned like, before like PS5 fans.
Like,
yeah, and they were like, there's 20 people on the dev team, man. Yeah. Like, this is not a AAA game. It's taken them years and years to make this thing because it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Experiment 101 is ex Just Cause developers. I can see a through line there.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The tone of the game, I was telling my wife, it's almost some of the visual style of like the weapons and characters. Almost is like a really dark, gross Splatoon.
Oh, really?
Like, there's some of that, like, really bright colors, but, like, all the characters are kind of gross looking. I do like the entire game is narrated by a British dude.
Oh.
And none of the characters speak English. They all talk in their weird animal talk.
Once again, very rare.
Yeah.
Yes, and you hear them do that, like, they'll sit there and just go, and then the narrator will go, you know, oh, he says you need to go over there and do that.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I kind of like that a lot.
Like, so it's, the narrator is literally sitting here, like, you're not getting the exact dialogue of what they're saying, you're getting how the narrator translates.
That's cool.
And it's, I can see, it does slow down the cutscenes, because you're having it translated to you instead of just hearing the dialogue as it happens.
Yeah.
But it's a really cool style. And then he'll do that stuff like in the overworld too. Like you'll come up to some new landmark and he'll just kind of talk about it while you're going through it. And it's a really cool way to do lore without stopping and giving you, you know, data things to read through. It just tells you as you're playing. And I mean, like you were mentioning with Horizon, where everybody speaks English, it kind of keeps you within the game while this guy just translates the game to you. And I think it's a really cool concept.
That is cool.
Someone mentioned, actually, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to say it. My therapist told me about this game.
Hey, I have one too.
It's more the fact that he gives me video game recommendations at the end of our sessions.
That's funny.
But he made the comment about how like it felt like it combined like Stephen Fry in Little Big Planet with the narrator from Bastion.
Awesome.
Yes. Yeah. No. That's very baby. Accurate. Yeah. Yeah. It definitely has that. My first impression was almost a little Hitchhiker's Guide-esque. Yeah.
Oh, I need to play this game.
Yeah, might be. I've been kind of on the fence about it. Like the more it was not on my radar, and the more that I've seen of it and heard about it, and like it does, you know, there are parts of it that seem really janky, but I also kind of really like the spirit of a game like this. And I want to support it. I want to play it. I want to enjoy it.
Yes. Yeah. No. It is without a doubt a THQ Nordic game. And if you've played THQ Nordic games, you know exactly what I mean. Like it's really cool. I really like it. And then there will be weird things in it that are just like, oh, that's not quite all right. And I think in the case of Biomutant, it's the combat. The combat feels loose and a little weird. It's something that I could totally see being patched.
Okay.
And you can definitely adapt to it. Like I'm getting to the point where I'm like, yes, this is janky. This is weird, but I understand the jank. And now it's fine now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it is one of those things where that's going to rub you the wrong way right off the bat. And like I said, the intro, maybe hour and a half of the game is very slow. But once it lets you loose, I am having a great time.
Huh.
That's cool.
Good. Awesome.
So I'll close this out with, we're talking about our things that aren't on Nintendo. So I got a VR headset over the weekend. I got an Oculus Quest 2. It is my, I think the only times that I've ever played VR have been at gaming events. So it's been over a year since the last time I went to a PAX or anything. And I guess I was just fiending because I haven't been able to like go mess around at a VR free play at one of those. And also doing that now would be terrifying.
I was going to say in retrospect, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
like get in line, kids, and everybody put on the same face thing.
Oh,
I'm surprised there wasn't like more pink eye coming from VR stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I've been playing the Quest 2. It's the kind of thing like I do have a child, so it's not like I'm like living in the VR life. It's really neat. And I love the fact of, for people who don't know, before, you would kind of need to hook up a headset to, you know, PlayStation 4 or PC. You would kind of need a lot of those wires connected. So the cool thing about the Oculus Quest is that it's wireless. There are ways that, like, I could hook it up to a computer, or I can also, I think there's also a way that you can do it, like, wirelessly, like, kind of tethering or casting or some way using your computer. So you can play more, like, more technically intensive and impressive games through that headset by connecting it up, which is a cool feature. I haven't really dabbled into that because I'm just kind of focusing of what's on like the Quest store. And I think when I do, if and when I do connect it to a computer, I think I can play like other VR games through that. That might technically be, you know, hacking or emulation. I don't know. I haven't gone down that path because so far, I've been content with the stuff that's been on the Oculus Quest store. I played through the first episode of Vader Immortal, set up in my living room, set up my little room scale experience, which is like really easy to do, where you basically just kind of like it'll give, because it has cameras kind of on the outside of the headset that will let you for a little bit like see what's actually beyond you, and you can kind of set the guidelines on your floor.
That's
and
cool.
The game does a very good job to make sure that you don't just bump into random shit, which is very much appreciated, especially when I'm on Mustafar, trying to like climb shit while there's Darth Vader standing above me, being all tall and junk. but it really is the effects of like how like you feel like you're in the space. You know, I had like a couple minor graphical hitches, and there was like some logic. Kind of, I had to like restart the game at one point because you have like a droid voiced by Maya Rudolph that you're hanging out with.
Oh, really?
And like she's starting to go up a ladder, and like then you follow her, but I got to that point and then she just froze on the ladder, and I'm like, what the hell do I do? And I just wound up quitting out and going back in. Thankfully, it was well checkpointed, and then it worked fine. So it's not like running flawlessly, but like I don't really have any complaints because this is what I wanted. I wanted to be able to mess around with VR stuff. I got the 64 gigabyte storage one, which will probably run out. I'll probably have to clean the fridge, but it was also the cheapest one at $300. There's, I think, a model with like 256 gigs. That's 400. And it's just a really nice piece of kit. Well,
300 isn't bad for like a self-contained thing. I mean, that's essentially a console,
yeah.
You know?
And I've heard from both the person at Best Buy when I got it, and I also read some stuff online that like the default strap sucks, which after playing it for a couple days, like, oh, I can see that. I'm probably gonna hold out on like buying there's like an optional like elite strap that is supposed to be very good. I'll probably get that down the line. But for right now, I'm very content with what I have. I also got Super Hot VR on sale. So I'm gonna play that. There's some other demos and things that I want to check out. But I'm excited for tomorrow. May 27th is when Carve Snowboarding comes out on the Oculus Quest. That's by Chuhai Labs, which that's a company founded by Giles Goddard. So one of the guys who worked on Star Fox and also 1080 Snowboarding, which is why Carve Snowboarding becomes relevant, I guess. But excited to mess around with that game. And then Resident Evil 4 VR comes out, I think, later this year. And that was kind of what pushed me over the edge, is that those two things seem really, really neat. And there's a lot of other experiences. There's some Jurassic Park stuff that I want to mess around with at some point. Some space stuff. there's like a National Geographic game that seems like shitty Pokemon Snap that my wife played a little bit of. And it's really neat. And I guess kind of my point is to tie it back to Nintendo, is that playing VR like reminds me of the feelings that I got when I first played the Wii. And it's something that like if I were to like sit down and like write a review of the different experiences, I can critique them all to high hell. But at the end of the day, like, it's just really fun and creative, and it's something that I've never done before. Yeah. And that's it's something that sometimes I feel like gets lost in the world of video games, and that like I do, like, don't get me wrong, I love me a good Metroidvania, like, give me a good 3D platformer, sports games, like, I'll play Madden every year, it's cool. But sometimes I just want something brand new, and it's hard to find, and I think that VR, it makes, like, almost mundane things feel completely different, which is a thing that we did really well.
Yeah, it did.
Of just, like, here's a regular action, but we added something different to it. And it makes the game like just more unique. Like this experience is more distinct. And I really appreciate that. I guess as a final point, Return of the Obra Dinn is a game that I think also executes on that idea of it's something that I've never really seen before. A game that game is really neat.
I need to play that. It's always on sale. I have a question about your experience with VR generally. So I have a friend here in town who has a PSVR and he loves it. We've played a lot of games on it, and I found that I get motion sick very quickly in first person games, and really the only games I can tolerate, I mean, I tolerate them really well. The games I can tolerate are things like Beat Saber, where you're not moving.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how you and John, if you have experience with VR too, if you guys have that at all, or yeah, what's your experience with VR from a, you know, motion sickness perspective?
So I'll say, as far as from the motion sickness perspective, I just went up to look to see like what the how long to beat was for Vader Immortal episode one, because I played that all in one go, and it was probably about an hour.
Okay,
that's what the how long to beat is, says the average is 51 minutes. So I basically spent like a full hour. There was a moment when I had that issue about the droid not going up the damn ladder. I did take it off to like Google, like, what the hell is this? And it just said restart, and then went back into it. But by the end of that, like, I was I'm kind of glad it ended when it did, because I was getting to the point where like, okay, like, this is becoming a little much.
Oh, really?
And that was a game where I was moving around a lot. Like, it would have been really funny to get a video of me, because there's parts where you're like, you're climbing up ladders and stuff, which that some of that stuff was really cool. And there's like a rock climbing game that's on the Quest that's supposed to be pretty good. Like the effect of, and it's really funny, because that's one where you're moving around, cause you're like reaching to grab different rungs of a ladder. And I'm kind of moving around my living room, probably looking like a fool.
That's kind of cool though.
You're climbing up kind of like, it's like a, you know, an exterior thing overlooking like pits of lava on Mustafar. And the actual, like, when you look out and like see things off to the distance, it's just like a shitty JPEG.
Oh, really?
But it's still really effective at like the looking down, and you're like, oh shit, I could fall. Like, I got that little bit of sense of vertigo. It wasn't like, and I could totally see it for people that are more fear of heights. It would probably really mess with them. But for me, it just gave me that. It was like that little bit of like, oh, like I'm a little uneasy, but it's not bad.
Yeah,
it was more like thrilling, exciting. But like, I think that's the kind of stuff that as I you know, play for an hour, it's gonna wear on me. But I didn't really have a lot of motion sickness stuff. But I also, I'm a dude who can, I mean, I can't quite like ride roller coasters over and over again as I've gotten a little older. But like, especially when I was a kid, like you could just put me on coasters that would loop upside down over and over again, and I would be fine. So I might not be the best person to ask when it comes to, does this make you motion sick?
I have a PlayStation VR. My wife can't play it. She gets motion sick on it really easy, but most of like the games I bought the VR for were like the space combat sims where you're constantly flipping around and going upside down. So I just kind of early on, it would give me a little trouble, but I've just gotten used to it. And now like I can sit in Star Wars Squadrons for a couple hours at a time.
Oh, nice.
It doesn't bother me.
How is that game?
Oh, it's so good. It's on Game Pass.
I think if I was sitting down, I would be fine.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is I'm not playing the game. Like, Vader Immortal is a game. Yeah, you're standing. Yeah. It's tracking, like, your hands. Oh, and
but the moment
around
where you're standing and, like, Darth Vader walks in front of you and you just have to look up because he's, like, 7.5 feet tall. It's so
yeah,
such a good,
whereas,
good feeling.
Whereas, you know, the stuff that I like to play, I'm usually in a cockpit. I'm probably just using a regular PS4 controller.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so I must say, the weird little controllers work well. I enjoy
that's
them.
That's good. The PlayStation Move controllers are the hottest of hot garbage.
Yeah
that's,
they are.
That's why
they
I don't
really
do
are.
Like, Vader Immortal is on PS4, but like, I'm not playing that on the PSVR because I have, like, I tried playing Skyrim VR with those controllers, and my sword's just jumping all over the place. And it's like playing a Wii when you have Christmas lights in the room and it's like trying to follow everything.
I do love, like, there's just that, like, the way, because they kind of have the controller is that, like, you have trigger buttons kind of aligned with fingers that, like, you have hands on the screen. And if you press your thumb down, it's going to put your thumb into your hand and everything. But just the gripping a lightsaber and pressing the button to turn it on is perfect. Like, it's so good. I wish Star Wars Squadrons was on the Quest. It's not.
That's only on PSVR. I don't think it's on any of like the Steam compatible VR headsets either. Like, the VR stuff for that is made, and I don't know, maybe Sony put in money or something.
Yeah.
But,
or maybe that even on PC as well? No, it is on.
It came out on PC, but the VR stuff isn't.
Okay. Maybe it'll
it could
come
also
later.
Be, you know what it is? It's built off of the engine that ran the stuff in the VR experience for Star Wars Battlefront. So it's probably literally that they were just like, we want to make a PSVR game. And then at some point they decided to also make it play on other things.
Makes sense. I do. I mean, I think Oculus is just going to keep on throwing money at things. So maybe we'll get Star Wars Squadrons or even Skyrim VR. That isn't on it as well.
That I will say, while it wasn't the best on PlayStation, Skyrim VR, like, you really appreciate the scale of things more in VR. Like, when that first, like, going up the tower at the beginning of the game and the dragon pops his head through the wall to breathe fire, like, I know that's coming. I've played that part a million times, but I jumped because I was like, oh shit. Like, I mean, you cannot appreciate the scale until you've played it in VR and it's like, oh, okay, that thing's at full size.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. That, like, I'm really excited to keep on toying with this. It's just also the nature of, like, it is a little bit sensory depriving, and I have a toddler and another child on the way. So it'll be a lot of, like, it'll be very much a everybody's asleep, I'm going to play VR for an hour kind of thing. But
yeah,
it's really cool. Like, it's fun to, I knew this point was going to come because I was like, it needs to be a little cheaper and I don't want to have to deal with wires. Now I'm living that life and I'm going to go snowboarding tomorrow. It's going to be great.
I would like to get one someday.
I am glad to hear this kind of review from you because I have been debating whether now that my PS4 isn't really the system I'm playing on anymore. I have debated whether or not I want to update my VR to something a bit more, because the PlayStation VR is very much, that is the plebeian's VR headset.
Yeah. That was, I was keeping an eye on that, but it never reached a point where I was like, oh, I'll get it.
It is a great headset for the price and for the time it came out. And I love that thing, but I would like something that has a slightly higher resolution, and doesn't rely on PS3 era motion controls for all of its motion games.
I think it's interesting that they haven't really talked about PSVR 2 yet at all.
No.
Did they mention that they're doing it? Or
they've acknowledged that it exists.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I think that's I think there's evidence of this in other places, but Microsoft announced their system and Sony went, oh, I guess ours should come out. And that is the story of the PS5.
Oh, yeah.
I do not think Sony would have launched the PS5 as is had Microsoft not come out earlier than they were expecting.
Interesting.
Sony was not ready.
But anyway, do we want to do some Jeopardy before we go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Neil, we're already at an hour. Should we team up to try and pool our knowledge?
Yes.
Or do you want to try and defeat each other?
Let's pool our knowledge.
So this is a general knowledge Jeopardy. There are some video game questions, but in general, it's just kind of non-video game related. It's normal Jeopardy. So there are six categories and values from 100 to 1,000, six questions per category and six categories. Gumshoes, the Disney afternoon, classic movie crossword clues, A&P, Doe, hope you guys watched Simpsons back in the day, and...
It depends on what season it cuts off.
Yeah, it cuts off before they get bad. and lineages. And from 100 to 1,000. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Or do we, you know what? Screw it, John. Let's be competitive. Feeling squirrely now that my kid actually went back to bed.
Oh, no. This is going to be, you know what's going to happen? Is that you guys are just enough older than me that this will perfectly dodge everything I know.
That might be true.
That's what's going to happen.
Although, would buzzing in be annoying with our setup right now?
Let's just tag team it.
Okay, we'll tag team it.
All right, go ahead. What are you taking?
I'll do Disney afternoon for 100.
Okay. Let's Get Dangerous. Mild-mannered single dad Drake Mallard fights crime in St. Canard as this epitomous hero of a cartoon inspired by such pulp adventures as The Shadow, The Green Hornet, and Batman.
What is Darkwing Duck?
Correct.
Let's, you know what, 200, let's go.
All right. Among this beloved TV show's many inspirations were the TV series Tales of the Gold Monkey and Cheers, as well as the Miyazaki film Hikotai Jida, or Poco Rosso, as we say.
Wait, repeat that one.
What?
Among this beloved show's many inspirations were the TV series Tales of the Gold Monkey and Cheers, as well as the Miyazaki film Hikotai Jida, or as we have it here, Porco Rosso.
So is that Rescue Rangers, is it, right?
Yeah, because Porco Rosso, he's a pilot.
Yeah, yeah, it's Rescue Rangers.
Yeah. Yeah,
I got really thrown off when you mentioned Cheers, and I was like, what?
Yeah, what? Disney, no kidding.
All right, you're sticking with Rescue
what
Rangers.
What is Rescue Rangers?
I'm sorry, it's
is it Tailspin? God damn it!
Duh.
The Cheers inspiration was the Rebecca character.
Yeah, that's my bad.
Yep.
I was thinking Tailspin and said the wrong one.
Okay.
Do you want to stick with Disney Afternoon?
If you want, I got one wrong. How about we'll do that? And that, like, it's kind of
okay.
One person guesses until we get something right, or until we get something wrong.
Let's hop over to Doe.
All right, 100.
Yes.
Okay, it's the secret ingredient of the famous Flaming Homer.
Oh boy, I don't remember. Is it Duff? Do you is remember Neil?
What is fire?
Oh, what? Very close. Oh, what was set on fire?
Homer.
What is lighter fluid?
Okay, I will not give that one to you. It's cough syrup.
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
Let's go movie crossword clues for 100.
Okay, Jeff Bridges in The Big Lebowski, 4 letters.
Who is the dude?
Dude is correct.
I believe it's just dude.
Yeah. 200 movie crossword clues.
All right. Charles Foster Kane's last word, 7 letters.
What is Rosebud?
Rosebud is correct.
We're back in the green. We're at 100. Let's keep doing movie crossword clues. 300.
All right. Fifth longest word in the English language from Mary Poppins.
What is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
Oh, geez, yes.
Let's do 500 then for movie crossword clues.
Oh, skipping the 4?
Oh, no, going to the... Okay, so it's 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, and then 1,000?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do the 400.
Okay. They're flocking this way in Jurassic Park, 10 letters.
How many letters is...
Yeah, that's what I'm hung up on.
Is pterodactyl 10 letters? There's an extra one at the beginning.
You guys saw Jurassic Park, right?
Yes.
You know that quote, right?
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, it's a velociraptor.
Yeah.
Yeah, not I assumed flying. Because of flocks.
What is
they
velociraptor?
They are like birds.
What is velociraptor? No, it's Gallimimus.
Fuck you.
What?
Get no, remember out. He says, when, no, when they're flocking remembers. This way, and then the kid says, Gallimimus.
All right, we're back at 0.
I was so proud of myself for not saying pterodactyls, and then you're just making up dinosaurs over here. Probably have feathers.
I'm sorry, my kid's into dinosaurs, but we're not watching Jurassic Park yet.
No, not yet, dude. No.
There was one point where my wife was like, oh, you know what? He's into dinosaurs. We should watch Jurassic Park. And I'm like, no. And she put on for like 2 minutes and we're like, nope.
You know what? If it's still on Netflix, Neil, there's a really good dinosaur documentary called Dinosaur Revolution. I believe it is narrated by Werner Herzog.
Ooh. I might, maybe I'll try to put that on and see if the kids are into it.
Watch Disney's Dinosaur.
That's not bad.
I don't remember if that was good.
The Good Dinosaur, the Pixar movie, wasn't that bad?
Go.
Awful. Boo.
All right, John, you pick.
Oh, right. Let's just go back to Simpsons for 200, or Doe for 200, sorry.
Frantically trying to call the power plant, a severely overweight Homer is greeted by an automated message explaining that his fingers are too fat and asks if he'd like to obtain this device in king-sized Homer.
I need to watch The Simpsons again. It's been a very long time.
I remember all these episodes, but
I don't remember the specifics.
And I'm pretty sure a Finglonger is from Futurama.
I should do a Futurama category. That's not.
I might be better at that.
Yeah.
I've
definitely watched Futurama more recently.
Let's see.
Would it help if I gave you the exact text of the message?
Probably not, but do it anyway.
Yeah, okay, sure.
I'm sorry. The fingers you have used to dial are too fat. To obtain a special blank, mash the keypad with your hand now.
Jumbo-sized keypad.
No, I'm sorry. So negative, nothing.
Negative 200, then.
Yeah, it's a special dialing wand.
Oh, that's... I was closer with the thing longer.
You were.
Let's do... movie crossword clues. I got two left.
For five?
Yeah, let's do that for five.
Okay. Valuable mineral in Avatar, 10 letters.
Ooh, what is unobtainium?
Hell yeah. That movie's
I don't know if I'm
going to
say... Yeah, it's I'm not going to say movie. If I'm going to... I'm not going to say hell yeah to that, but that's still hilarious.
It haunts me to this day.
Yeah.
Let's knock that out for 1,000.
Okay. Basil of Baker Street's sidekick in The Great Mouse Detective, 6 letters.
Oh.
Did they just call him Watson?
No, I can tell you no.
Knoxon.
I can give you his first name and initial. That might help.
Sure.
David Q.
It didn't help.
It didn't.
That is a great movie, by the way. That is my favorite Disney movie.
It's a really good movie.
I haven't seen that since I was a kid. Yeah.
I need my kid to get out of the dinosaur phase and into
the rat phase.
Yeah. It's a natural evolution.
Yeah.
I'm going to give up on that one.
Rupert.
There you go. Dawson. David Q. Dawson.
It's okay, kind of like Watson.
That? I wasn't going to know that. Yeah, I guess it is similar to Watson.
Some of the same letters involved.
All right, so we're at minus 700 now. You go, John.
Just keep doing dough. Just farther and farther. Dig that grave. We're answering them all eventually anyway.
Yeah. In the episode You Only Move Twice, Homer takes a job at the Globex Corporation in Cypress Creek, only to discover that this man, his boss, is a Blofeld-like supervillain.
Oh, God. What's the guy's name?
Mister?
I can picture him. Yeah. I think he's voiced... No, he's not I forget. Oh, he's voiced by Albert Brooks, isn't he?
Oh, you know what? I think he is.
Yeah.
Does that count as the right answer?
I know the voice actor.
You know what? I'm going to look that up. If that's right, I'll give it to you. Oh, my God.
Is it...
His last name is a zodiac sign.
Mr. Cancer. Mr.
Wait, is it a zodiac sign?
It's Hold on. Hank. Hank.
Oh, you got it!
Thinking of zodiac signs.
It's a horoscope sign. I'm sorry. Horoscope sign. Is that the same thing?
I don't think so, but it still helped. Hank Scorpio.
Yeah!
Good
I wanted, job. I wanted to say Hank Powers. And then you said I didn't blurt it out, but I was just like, Hank.
Yeah.
Yay.
Nice.
So what is that? So that brings us up to, that was a 300?
Yep.
-400. All right, John, ooh, you've got the table still.
Dough. See if Neil knows another one.
All right. Put into the witness protection program after Sideshow Bob is paroled early in Cape Fear, the Simpsons are given this new last name, which Homer has a very hard time learning.
Man, I really hoped this was going to be a Gilbert and Sullivan related question because I would have crushed it.
It's a real good episode.
That is my favorite episode for that reason.
This is a really, really good episode, but I do not remember anything from it except for the Gilbert and Sullivan stuff. And the fact that it's Kelsey Grammer, David Hyde Pierce, is that your Bob and Mel?
Yeah.
That's a great episode too when they're together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no...
I might just, after this, go watch Simpsons.
That would probably be a good idea, apparently.
Early Simpsons is wonderful.
I can tell you which Gilbert and Sullivan show he sings from.
Very well, Bart. I shall send you to heaven before I send you to hell.
So -800 is what we're at.
Yeah.
It's the Thompsons. The Thompsons.
Oh, yeah. Let's do Disney Afternoon for 300.
Okay. This show, the studio's first television cartoon and thus the prototypical Disney Adventures series, why'd I say Disney Adventure Afternoon series, was allegedly born from Michael Eisner's son's love of a particular kind of candy.
Oh, what is gummy bears?
I will give that to you. The real name is Adventures of the Gummy Bears, but yes, correct.
Yeah, you better take that.
Nobody knows that.
I didn't even know that was Disney.
I watched that show all the time as a kid. I
never did. Is it good?
Probably not. because unlike every other Disney Afternoon show that I like as an adult was like, I'll watch some DuckTales. I never went back to it.
Okay.
I also don't know if it's really accessible anywhere.
Is it on Disney Plus?
Got to be on Disney Plus.
I don't know if it is.
The Ewok movies are on Disney Plus.
True.
There might be more of a market for the Ewok movies than there are gummy bears.
There shouldn't be. I can almost guarantee you that whatever the gummy bears is, it's better than the Ewok movies.
Absolutely.
Hold on. Gonna ask my phone. Is the gummy bears on Disney Plus? Oh, it is streaming on Disney Plus, but it only got added this year, apparently.
Oh. Well, time to introduce the kid.
Yeah.
Let's go Disney Afternoon for 400.
All right. This legendary Disney cartoon was notable for its dark, serialized storytelling and its numerous Star Trek voice actors, most notably Jonathan Frakes, Marina Sirtis, and Michael Dorn.
Come on, John.
Yeah, I only watch actual Star Trek. My initial assumption that this would be exactly our age difference was spot on, by the way.
It's the only Disney cartoon with a dark, serialized story lasted several seasons.
Oh, wait. Gargoyles was Disney.
There you go.
Okay. I did just think about it. I was very focused on like the Darkwing Duck goof chirp of it all.
Oh yeah. NECA, by the way, is finally doing some Gargoyle toys. I'm very excited about that.
That's a show that's on Disney Plus and is very, very good.
Yep. Third season's bad.
So what is that? So that was 400?
Yep.
All right, let's do 500.
Okay. While Aladdin, Hercules, and Timon and Pumbaa were cartoon sequels to theatrical movies, this cartoon did the opposite and was followed by two theatrical follow-ups.
There's a... DuckTales only had one movie.
Yep.
Why am I answering?
Yes, it is Goof Troop.
What is Goof Troop? So that puts us... We're in the green.
I saw them both in theaters.
I think I saw one of them. Super Nintendo game. Slaps.
That's what you've told me, yeah.
Yeah, no, I was actually playing it recently on my analog Super NT. Still a very good game.
We should get sponsored by them if you're going to... If you're going to bring it up every time.
Oculus Quest 2, Analog Super NT, let's go.
Yep.
Also, you can't buy an Analog Super NT anymore, so I don't know what I'm zealoting for.
I didn't say it was a good sponsorship. But listen, as long as they pay.
All right, let's close this category out.
All right, 1,000. This semi-autobiographical series from Jim Jenkins about the title character's adventures growing up.
What is Doug?
Yes.
And that's for the 1,000 one?
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know. I tried to make it vague.
No, once you said autobiographical and Jim Jenkins, I immediately knew it. I still my favorite fun fact about Doug is that the neighbor, Mr. Dink, it's an acronym for double income, no kids.
Really?
That's a show that I haven't watched in forever, but like adored when I was younger.
I've never seen it.
And I actually think, cause it was on Nickelodeon originally. Yep, I did not really enjoy it when it moved to Disney.
Oh really? They changed it?
Yeah. They kind of changed like the style of it. Like, I think it was like, it was like then the next year of school or something.
Yeah.
And the animation was slightly different. That's when they did like the movie too. It's weird to think like how big that show was for a little while.
I remember that. Yeah, it was huge.
So now we have a buffer, John, that we can piss away on Gumshoes for 100.
Okay, Gumshoes. Though it only lasted 6 episodes, this cop show parody went on to spawn the Naked Gun film series, though Leslie Nielsen was the only actor who played the same role in both.
So this is one, I don't know if you'll be lenient like you were with Gummy Bears, but I think it's either Tales from Police Squad or just Police Squad.
Just Police Squad. Very good.
Okay. So let's do
and the Naked Gun movies are from the files of Police Squad.
Okay, that's it. Naked Gun movies are amazing. I've never seen the show.
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah, I love them.
It's just like perfect, like Leslie Nielsen dry humor. So damn good.
Yeah.
And I watched at least, I think I watched the first one like a year or two ago, and like not every single joke holds up, but like more often than not, I was just cackling throughout movie.
And Ricardo Montalban's great.
Yeah. And I think that's the one, is that the one with Weird Al and Reggie Jackson?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's when Reggie Jackson is going to kill the queen.
Yep.
I'm a sucker for a big sports finale in a comedy movie.
Yep.
All right, let's do Gumshoes for 200.
All right. This Hollywoodland, Los Angeles-based detective game from Rockstar was... Feel free to shout it out whenever you
what
know.
What is L.A. Is Noir?
LA Noir? Thank you, yes.
I knew that one, Neil. That was relevant to when I've been alive.
Famous garbage hotel that we stayed in for a couple of E3s, the Stillwell, is
them.
In L.A. Noir.
Is it?
Is there like a crime investigation there?
It's probably.
Like, do people
these guys
die?
Were told the Wi-Fi was better than it actually was.
It was not a good game.
I remember you didn't like it?
No.
I love L.A. Noir.
I could never understand what I was supposed to do in the interrogations because the facial animations were not as good as they made them out to be.
You just got to learn, it's less about reading them like they're humans and more about reading them the way the game wants you to read them.
Okay.
And then getting it wrong anyway and realizing that it really doesn't matter.
Oh, I really like the setting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I liked it more.
I guess let's keep up with Gumshoes for 300.
Okay. John Turturro played Tony Shalhoub's older agoraphobic brother in this eccentric USA detective series.
What is Monk?
Monk is great.
You know what? Screw it. This is another one where I worked with Monk's daughter for a little while.
Oh, the woman who played his daughter at the end?
No, Tony Shalhoub's literal daughter.
Oh, that's right. I remember you telling me that. Yeah, that's cool.
It's just fun fact. Tangled web we weave. Did not know. She did not. It's like she went around being like, I'm Tony Shalhoub's kid.
How did you introduce yourself?
I did joke with a coworker that like one day we should just loudly talk about how much Monk sucks.
Oh.
She was super nice, though. It was... There's a reason we didn't do that. It just joked about it once.
Yeah. I like Monk. That's a good show.
Yeah. He's really good on Maisel.
I keep trying to get Gina to watch that damn show. It feels like a show she would like, and she doesn't want to watch it.
Like, Shalhoub's just a great actor. Like,
yeah.
Across the board. Also a Packer fan. I think he grew
up
in,
I like him more now.
Grew up in Wisconsin. We like our own.
Yep.
Even Zack Snyder, kind of. But anyway.
Hey, his his cachet improved notably after Justice League, the real cut.
Yeah, I mean, not surprisingly good for being a 4-hour slog.
Yep. Oh, I watched it over like 3 nights.
Yeah.
I made it a solid 10 minutes into that movie, at which point my wife said...
That means you saw half a scene.
My wife said, wait, is it all in slow motion? And I said, oh, yes.
That was
and
my was first like, joke and she too,
was like,
yeah.
She's like, is it all in 4:3? And I was like, yes. And she's like, we're going to watch Infinity War or something and turn it off.
I was not as bothered by the 4:3 as I thought I would be.
I really wasn't either. Although I did also like watch it on a crappy TV. It was a TV in my bedroom.
I'll wheel out my CRT to watch the way he intended.
Like, am I absolutely never going to watch that movie again? Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Not a chance. Do I regret sitting through 4 hours of it? No. No. It was totally fine. It was interesting to see like an auteur take on that in a way that we don't really see anymore.
You know, I've heard, and if either of you have seen this, feel free to correct me. I've heard that Army of the Dead is good until it's not.
That's what I've heard as well. I think
it's true of most art, I think.
Yeah. It is. It's on Netflix. It's been on my queue for like a week.
Let's keep on with Gumshoes. I think we're at 400 or 500.
400, yeah. The TV series Community paid homage to this well-known crime drama with the season 3 episode Basic Lupine Urology, in which the study group's biology class Yam is murdered. One of the best episodes of that show.
What is Law and Order?
There you go.
I do like the Basic Lupine Urology because of Dick Wolf.
Dick Wolf, yeah.
good old Dick Wolf. Hell of a name. Hell of a producer.
Yep.
Let's keep on going with Gumshoes. Acing this.
Yes, you have. Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson play two Louisiana cops searching the bayou for a serial killer, the Yellow King, in the excellent first season of this HBO drama.
What is True Detective?
There you go.
Let's finish it up.
We don't talk about the next two seasons.
There's only one. It's like how there's only Star Wars episodes 1-8.
Exactly.
Let's just stop at 6. Why go any further?
You know what? Maybe you're right.
Yep. now that J.J. Abrams has officially disavowed them, I think we're allowed to
The way that the quote is also like really it. He does kind of.
It's being misreported.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
Because it's basically someone asked him about the Star Wars stuff, and he kind of danced around it, just saying that like with everything I've done in my career, like, you come up with these ideas and sometimes you maybe it was better off coming up with a solid plan before you just do the thing.
Yeah.
But also about how it's a collaborative process where you make the thing and, you know, even if you did have this grand plan, it might have been changed along the way. Like, I know famously with Force Awakens, Poe was supposed to die in the beginning, but like Oscar Isaac is cool as shit.
Yeah.
So they kept him around.
Yep. Which was the right decision.
Someone should have told Ryan.
Keep going with Gumshoes?
Yeah.
All right. In an early episode of Seinfeld, you knew there was going to be one in here. In an early episode of Seinfeld, the New York Public Library sends investigations officer Lieutenant Bookman, played by this veteran character actor, after Jerry to pay a 20-year-old late fine.
I don't remember who that was. I'm guessing by your silence, John, neither do you.
I've seen some Seinfeld.
I've seen some things.
Do you know who that is?
No.
Okay. Who is it?
It's Philip Baker Hall.
Oh, okay. Would have never gotten that, but
yeah,
recognize the name.
Yeah, the original draft of that question was about MathNet, and I figured more people would know who Philip Baker Hall was than what MathNet is.
Yeah, that's probably a good
fucking
call.
Love MathNet.
All right, John.
Oh. What's Lineages?
Pick it and find out.
Let's do that.
For 100. When Dr. Donald Johnson's team discovered Australopithecus afarensis in 1974, he gave the specimen this name after a Beatles song that was playing during the excavation. Most famous fossil on the planet.
That
I don't know.
Is there come on. Is there a ranking of fossil fame?
Probably. Let's see. I don't know.
We're gonna name a fossil.
Something in the sky with diamonds.
Well, that's cheating.
It is. But were you gonna get it?
No, I was thinking of things that had names in it. I was leaning toward Jude.
Lucy.
Oh, Jude would have been good, yeah. Lucy, yeah, Lucy.
Yeah.
They're not all like that.
And that's where LSD came from.
Yeah. I guess that should be a higher value question.
If you're talking to like anyone except you, and it's a question about a fossil, then yeah, it should be a higher value question.
All right, so Gumshoes, Disney Afternoon, and Movie Crossword Clues are all done, right?
They gone.
Let's do A and P for 100.
Okay. This is the technical term for your upper arm bone, and it's no laughing matter.
Oh God.
The humerus. Yeah,
what is the humerus?
There you go.
I got one.
You got one.
Let's do A and P for 2.
All right. This paired bone, technically a part of your shoulder girdle, is the easiest bone to break in the human body.
Oh, what is the collarbone?
Yes.
I did not know that. That it was easy to break, not that collarbones exist. But
There you go.
Let's keep on going. 300. All right.
Although it's traditionally seen as a vestigial organ that is often removed, this finger-like extension of the intestines appears to act as a reservoir for beneficial gut bacteria.
What is the...
Appendix. Appendix?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yay. Boy, let's good at the biology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do 4.
All right. An area of the respiratory system where no gas exchange occurs, such as the trachea, or where damaged lung tissue traps air, is known by this term, also the name of a franchise of space-based horror games.
Dead Space?
Hey!
I never knew that before.
Me neither.
Me neither, actually, until I looked it up.
Yeah. Did they get the name from that, or...?
I don't think so.
Dead Space is also... I mean, that has other meanings, too.
Yeah.
But let's choose to believe it's from that.
Yeah.
That's the headcanon now.
Yeah. There's some Dead Space chatter because it's talking about the end of Visceral Games in the new Jason Schreier book, which I'm at the tail end of the Kurt Schilling chapter, which I just want to remind everybody, fuck Kurt Schilling. A and P for 500.
All right. These two collagen structures have similar purposes but different names. This connects one bone to another bone, while this connects bone to muscle. And you need to say them in order.
Well, it was fun.
Yeah.
So what were the two?
Bone to bone, and then bone to muscle.
Well, is one of those a tendon?
Tendon.
Yes, one of them is a tendon.
And the other one?
I think the tendon is bone to muscle.
Yes, I think you're right.
That is correct.
So, bone to bone.
Ligament.
Hey!
Ligament is bone to bone.
There you go.
All right.
You're rocking this category.
Let's close it. Right, do we have one more?
One more in A&P.
All right, let's do it.
If we get it right, we're doctors.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
We'll be in the next Dr. Mario World update.
Yep. We're more qualified than three Goombas stacked together. So.
Or a dolphin.
That's true.
Okay, of the many systems that make up your body, this one is responsible for controlling your body's numerous glands like the pineal, pituitary, pancreas, and parathyroid, along with the hormones they produce.
Well, the difference is like nervous, respiratory. God, I'm bad at biology.
Well, you were really good up until this point. Yeah.
Doing pretty good so far.
Yeah, no, pretty good.
We can still be vet techs if we don't get this one right.
Yeah, I've got nothing.
I have no idea. Nervous.
Okay. The answer is the endocrine system.
Okay.
Would
not have gotten it. All right, so we got Doe and Lineage left. You pick away, John.
Let's do Lineages, because I'm scared.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isaac Asimov's short story Runaround formally introduced this concept, which has been carried forward into all manner of discussions surrounding the ethics and philosophy of artificial life and intelligence, both in fiction and the real world.
Is it the three laws of robotics?
Hey!
Hey!
Nicely done.
All right. More like that.
I was going to say, and Isaac Asimov, right, he's the dude who just coined the name robot, right? And like the term?
No, that's from...
He coined the word robot.
Robot.
Yeah. I think Brave New World... Not Brave New World, it's the movie, black and white movie, Metropolis.
Yeah.
Metropolis. Where that's from, yeah.
I didn't know that. That's a great movie.
I know it's the kind of thing that, like, you think it's probably, like, from something, and it's like, nah, it's like, some dude just made it up.
Let's keep going. I'm having more luck with lineages than we have with Simpsons.
All right.
I do like how, like, Simpsons is the thing that has destroyed
us.
Yeah,
no kidding.
For 300, Godzilla was inspired in part by Ray Harryhausen's awesome Raidosaurus from this classic film, itself inspired by Ray Bradbury's 1951 short story, The Foghorn.
Oh.
I'm trying to think of which Harryhausen movie
The name of the movie is what we're looking for?
Yep.
I don't know the name of the movie.
It's a long title. Not long. Awkward.
I watched a buttload of Jason and the Argonauts, but that's not what we're looking for.
This one's black and white, I will say that.
Yeah, I don't know the name of it.
But
Harryhausen stuff, that's the truth.
Oh, that's the shit, yeah.
It's not the beast.
Hmm?
Is it the beast from 20,000 Fathoms?
It is.
Yes. I did not know that, but that I was trying to think of any Harryhausen lizard movies.
Oh, there you go.
That was 28, that was 300?
300, yep.
Yeah, we're up to 2,800.
All right. Nice.
Toshiba's Gigabit S device, redeveloped under the name Toshiba 1089, formed the basis for this poorly received and often derided 2006 Microsoft product, codenamed Argo.
Is that the no, it can't be the Zune, is it?
Is that's as good at your time period's about right.
Overseen by Jay Allard.
It's the Zune, isn't it?
It is the Zune.
Okay.
Good job.
Just thinking, what's the dumbest shit that you can come up? I had a friend who was just like a real Zune zealot.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Zulet.
It's hard to be.
Yeah. He was the one.
500 for this?
Yeah.
All right, R.J. McHale and Dave Needle, working at Epix Inc., developed the Handy Game handheld in 1987, which was shopped around at CES in 1989 as the Portable Color Entertainment System, and given this official name later that year under new ownership.
Why is it going to be the video game-related one that I don't know the answer to?
Is it the Atari Lynx?
What year are we in?
Because the Lynx was around the Game Boy. This is said they were shopping it in 87.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure. I don't know. This is new history to me.
Developed in 87, shopped around at 89, and I will tell you, also released at the end of 89.
I think what is the Atari Lynx?
That is correct.
I have one of those, and I didn't realize that was that early.
Yeah, I knew it was contemporary with the Game Boy. And so that was 400 or 500?
That was 5. I know the screen is the size of like a slide.
Yeah.
But
oh yeah.
I've always wanted it. Just like looks like such a bizarre looking device.
Well, and compared to what was on, I mean, the games on it are gorgeous when you compare it to what else was out.
Yeah.
All right, 1,000?
Yes.
Okay. Now this is I think you will get this one. I really do.
Now you've jinxed it.
Fossils of the 400-million-year-old Romundina, obviously extinct, have demonstrated that the earliest versions of these ubiquitous vertebrate mouth parts are, in fact, modified fish scales.
Wait, where was the question in there?
These ubiquitous mouth parts in vertebrates.
Teeth?
Yeah, what are teeth?
Yeah!
All right, I didn't know that.
Yeah, neither did I. All right, let's bang out these Simpsons ones.
All right.
Did we get everything in Lineage? Did we answer all of the? For the first.
Yeah. We got the first one.
Lucy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, otherwise, yeah. Last two Simpsons ones. This is for, I guess, 500. Trying to one-up Homer's Mr. Plow business, Barney hires this country music singer to record Plow King's TV jingle.
I was hoping the question was going to be what Barney's company was called, and I was so ready. I was like, I got this.
So was it a country?
Yeah.
Country music singer.
Was it Kenny Rogers?
It's a woman. I'll say it's a woman.
A woman.
Kennett yeah. Rogers.
Yeah. Dolly Parton.
John?
I actively avoid hearing country music of any kind.
So do I. It's Linda Ronstadt.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. She
exists.
Was in the 1980s version of Pirates of Penzance by Gilbert
really?
And Sullivan. Yes, she plays
it
Mabel.
It all comes back.
Oh, yep. That's great.
Yeah,
it's funny.
They have to lower all of her songs because she can't actually hit the notes.
No.
All right, for all the marbles. Well, although we are at 4,200 points, I'll have
you
know.
You won.
Yeah, we're live.
All right, Homer teams up with Principal Skinner, Apu? Principal Skinner, Apu, and Barney to form this barbershop quartet, whose first record, Baby on Board, is an immediate hit.
Like the B-sharps?
Yes!
Wow, good job.
All right, 5,200 points.
Look at that.
Boy, that turned around a little bit at the end.
Yeah, it did.
All right, well, that'll do us for this episode of Connectivity. thanks, Zach, for making us all feel a little smarter and a little dumber all at the same time. I hope everybody enjoyed that. Send in some listener mail to connectivity@nintendoreport.com. If you want to see more game show stuff, I know like Donald Terrio also mentioned doing some things, and maybe we can kind of formalize doing this more frequently. Until next week, talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Did you know that Nintendo World Report is funded directly by fans like you? When you support Nintendo World Report on Patreon, you get immediate access to multiple exclusive podcasts every month, exclusive Discord channels, an early look at select content, and more, all for as little as $1 a month. Check out patreon.com/NWR for all the details.